Okay, here we go. Okay, today we're going to talk about the leaders of the people of paradise. But before we do so, I want to ask some questions from yesterday because we covered a lot of salient information yesterday about the children of paradise. And we went over several hadiths that dealt with that a lot of people misconstrue. So let me ask you guys some questions from yesterday before we begin today's topic. First question, true or false? The children of the Kufar will not go to paradise. True or false? According to which most authentic opinion? The children of the Kufar will not go to paradise. Very good. That answer is false according to the most correct opinion, which uses the most authentic hadith or authentic evidence. That answer is false. Very good. Next question. True or false? The children of the believers will be in paradise. True or false? The children of the believers will be in paradise. Very good. That answer is true. There's no doubt about it because Allah says it in the Quran that the children of the believers who die, they will be amongst those in paradise. So the answer is true, not maybe. Inshallah, too. Amina has a very good point here. We need to also remember to say inshallah, because remember we talked about the hadith of Aisha. May Allah be pleased with her. Aisha said a little boy died, and she said, well, at least he didn't grow up to commit evil, and he'll be in amongst the people of paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped her and said, don't say that. Say inshallah, because yes, Allah does state that the children, the believers, will be in paradise. That's the general case. But still, only He knows who He's going to put in paradise. You don't want people going around taking for granted that somebody's going to paradise. And this is also the same reason why we don't go around saying, this person died a martyr, that person died a martyr, because you don't know what their last deeds were. Okay, so again, very good, Amina and Basma. Remember to say inshallah, but we can say that the general text does implicate that the children of the believers will go to paradise. But still, Allah knows best about everything. Okay, next question. Who takes care of the children while they are in paradise before the day of judgment? Before the day of judgment. Very good. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Sarah, not Hajar. Sarah. Remember, not Hajar, Sarah. Now, we talked about this hadith in detail too, because a lot of people think that hadith means that the children will go to paradise and stay there and be cared for by Ibrahim for the rest of their lives there. That's not true. The souls of the children go to paradise now and take the form of the birds, and they are cared for by Prophet Ibrahim and his wife Sarah. But on the day of judgment, those children will then take on the body and the soul. And they will appear as little kids, and they will go to their parents and hold their parents' hands and beg Allah to allow their parents in paradise. So that hadith does not mean that the children will stay there forever being cared for by Prophet Ibrahim and his wife. What it means is that's where their souls are being cared for them as of now, before the day of judgment. Next question, true or false? Any woman whose child dies before the age of puberty will be shielded from the hellfire by that child. This hadith does not include the father. True or false? This hadith does not include the father. True or false? Every woman whose child dies will be screened by that child, but this does not include the father. True or false? Very good. That answer is false. We talked about how this is another hadith that many, many, many people misinterpret. They take this hadith because they only read part of it for one reason. They don't read the full hadith, whereas the Prophet ﷺ also added in the fathers too. But you find people who read this hadith and they think that this hadith is exclusive to women only, when it is not. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said any couple, that means man and husband and wife, father and mother, any couple whose child dies before the age of puberty, that child will shield them on the day of judgment. So don't take that hadith to just mean women only. Next question. True or false? The children will shield their parents by being a protectant underneath them over the hellfire. True or false? The children will shield their parents by being a protective seal underneath them over the hellfire. Very good. That answer is false. And we talked about that hadith. A lot of people interpret that hadith to mean that the children will be in the hellfire with their parents underneath them, blocking the fire. That is not the meaning of that hadith. The children will not be in hell. Remember, we talked about how children don't go to hell, okay? Because they're innocent. What the children will do when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about the children shielding their parents, what is meant by this is the children will take the hand of their parents after their parents cross the Sirat bridge, and the children will beg Allah to allow their parent into paradise. And Allah will eventually allow the parents to enter out of mercy, because of these children interceding for them. That's the meaning of that hadith, guys. And this is why I tell you all the time, you better be careful when you go around quoting hadith. You got to know the history of the hadith, and you have to know the entire hadith. Okay? So that's what that means. And eventually, Allah will take the parents. If Allah chooses to put the parents in hell for them to pay for their sins, Allah will eventually take them out, if they are believing parents, of course. Allah will eventually take them out just out of mercy because of the pleas of their children. So that's the tafsir behind that hadith. Okay? Next question. Will there be Jews and Christians in paradise? And if so, where will they be from? Will there be Jews and Christians in paradise? And if so, where will they be from? Very good. The answer is true. Where will they be from? How will these people, what Christians are these? Will this be your mother who died a Christian? Your father who died a Christian? Very good, Brother Mutakum. The Christians and Jews that will be allowed to enter paradise are the Christians and Jews who follow their prophets and their authentic message, the authentic gospel, the authentic Torah. These were the Christians and Jews who, they were Muslims, just like we are. They submitted to Allah. Because remember, every prophet was a Muslim. And these people followed the teachings of their authentic Bibles or books, read books, without deviating away from it. They believed in Allah and His oneness, just like we do, and they practice all the rituals and rites given in their books. Those are the Jews and Christians that will be in paradise. They are not the people from today. They are not the Jews and Christians that we have now who believe in a Trinity, who believe in a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. They are not the Christians that sit around praying to idols of St. Timothy and St. Nicholas and Santa Claus and whatever they pray to. Okay? So basically, guys, those questions there cover what we went over yesterday in yesterday's class. And today we're going to continue with the topic of the people of paradise. And today's topic will prove to be just as interesting as yesterday's, because we're going to talk about the leaders of the people in paradise. Believe it or not, there will be leaders or imams in paradise. There will be imams. Yes, there will be. A number of the Sahaba reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr and Umar will be the imams of the men of paradise from the earlier and later generations. And that hadith is sahih. So we have to understand something here, guys. There will be imams in paradise, and the imam over the men will be Abu Bakr and Umar. May Allah be pleased with them both. There will also be imams over the young people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hassan and Hussein, those were his grandchildren, they are the leaders of the youth of paradise. Okay? In addition to their being leaders amongst the men and the youth, there will also be leaders of the women. Well, not leaders of the women, but women who stand out. There will be women who, certain women of paradise, who stand out above all others. A true female who stands out with her Lord is one who her Lord is pleased with, and who has done deeds which He accepts. And the best women of all times are those who attain the paradise of delights. And we're going to go over the different paradises later on in the week. Remember, we talked about how there are different gardens of paradise. There is a garden of paradise called the Garden of Delights. And this is the garden which the best of the women will live in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew four lines in the ground one day. And he said, do you know what these lines are? He said, these lines represent the best women of paradise. And the best women of paradise are four in numbers. Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her. Fatima, who was the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad. Maryam, who was the mother of Prophet Isa, alayhi salam. And Asiya, who was the wife of Pharaoh. These were the best of all women. And I want you guys to note, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, is not in there. A lot of people think Aisha is one of the four. No, she's not. The four best women are Khadija, the first wife of the Prophet, Fatima, the Prophet's daughter, Maryam, the mother of Isa, and Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh. And the best of these four was not Aisha again, like many people think. The best two of these four were Maryam and Khadija. Those two women were the best of all women. And you will find this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the best of all women, number one, is Maryam, Isa's mother. May Allah be pleased with her. And after her will be Khadijah. And the reason why Maryam is considered the best of all women is clearly stated in the Quran. Allah says in the interpretation, the meaning, behold, the angel said, O Maryam, Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the women of all nations. How could she not be the best of women when Allah has clearly stated this? Believe it or not, guys, you got people out there who try to argue this and say that Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, was the best of all women. This is not true. Maryam was. Also, in another verse, Allah says in the interpretation of the meaning, her Lord accepted her with a goodly acceptance, and he made her to grow in a good manner. In another ayah of the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, and Maryam, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity, and we breathed into her through our spirit, and she testified to the truth of the words of her Lord, and she believed in his scriptures, and she was one of those obedient to Allah. So that's the dalil that proves Maryam, the mother of Jesus, to be the best of all women ever. And after her, we have Khadijah. And here's the dalil or evidence for that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the reason why Khadijah is the second best of all women is because she comforted him and she supported him in every way. Her Lord gave her the good news. During her lifetime, he had Jibril alayhi salam announce, have the Prophet announce to her that a place in paradise will be there for her where she will have no noise or exhaustion. And that hadith is also sahih, and you'll also find it in Sahih al-Bukhari. So those are the two best women ever. After Khadijah, we have Asiyah, who was the wife of Pharaoh. This woman believed in Allah, despite the fact that her husband used to punish her and torture her for not accepting him as a god. And finally, her husband had tied her up to crush her with a rock for not accepting him as a god, and Allah took her soul. And Allah talks about this in the Quran as well, in the interpretation of the meaning. And Allah sets forth an example for those who believe in the wife of Pharaoh, when she said, my Lord, build for me a home with you in paradise, and save me from Pharaoh and his works, and save me from those who do wrong. And Allah took her soul right before the rock crushed her. Okay? So she's the third of the best of all women ever. And you women need to listen to that, because guess what, guys? I got news for you. I tell you, this is the worst nation, the worst group of Muslims. We got a bunch of women running around today thinking that they're the best of all women. Seriously, I'm sure you guys know some of them. They're actually running around calling themselves reincarnations of the Sahaba. And they say that they're the best women ever, and they're the only women who are going to paradise. These women need to fear Allah, because they'll probably be sitting up in the hellfire for their blasphemy. Okay? And then the fourth best of all women of all time is Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the reason why she is the fourth best of all times is because she was patient. and forbearing, and she feared Allah. Now remember, we talked a few weeks ago about how the sacrifices that the companions of the Prophet made, that the first generation of Muslims made. Fatima could have been rich. She could have been a princess. She could have had as much money and wealth as she wanted. She could have had a bunch of slaves, a bunch of servants. But she chose to remain patient and forbearing. And this is one of the reasons why she is elevated above all of the women. So again, we need to wake up to the reality for those women running around thinking that they are the Sahaba reincarnated, and those women running around saying they're the only ones going to paradise and everybody else is going to hell. You better wake up, because you'll be sitting down there with those people you follow blindly. Okay? The four best women of all times were Maryam, the mother of Jesus, Mary, as she's known in English, Khadijah, the first wife of the Prophet, Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, and Fatima, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter. And they will be the leaders amongst the women of paradise. Now, in addition to having leaders amongst the men and women of paradise, there are also 10 companions who were given glad tidings of paradise in this lifetime. And this is why I tell you guys, for the story of the Khalifa class, we're hearing about these 10 companions, and we're hearing about the fights that they had with each other, and even plots of murder and etc. But we are not supposed to pass judgment on them, because they will be of the 70,000 that enter into paradise without having to ever go to hell. So whatever they have done, Allah has already chosen to forgive them for their sins. And they will enter into paradise, part of those 70,000 that won't ever see hell. So this is why we don't slander them or pass judgment on them like so many other deviant groups do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated one day, he said, 10 will be in paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be in paradise. And with him will be Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Talha, Azubair, Sa'd ibn Malik, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and Sa'id ibn Zayd. They will all be in paradise. And that hadith is sahih. And all of those names you guys should recognize from the Khalifa class. They're going through fights right now, many of them. But this is why I tell you, don't pass judgment. They will be in paradise. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my successor, meaning Abu Bakr, will be in paradise. And his successor, meaning Umar, will be in paradise. And his successor, meaning Uthman, will be in paradise. And his successor, meaning Ali, will be in paradise. And that hadith is sahih. And this is why you don't sit around speaking bad against the caliphs, the first four caliphs, because they are all guaranteed paradise. Remember, the first person to enter paradise after the Prophet will be Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr will be followed by the 70,000, and these will be mainly from the early generation of Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Bakr, he said, Abu Bakr, you are free from the hellfire. And that's the evidence that they will be of the 70,000. They will never, ever, ever see hell because of the sacrifices they made for Allah in their lifetimes. So this is, again, you want to remember, never speak against these companions, because Allah has chosen to forgive their sins already. And they will not see what we will most likely see. Okay? There are also other people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned as being in paradise. And many of these people you guys should recognize from the caliphate class as well. For example, Ja'far ibn Abu Talib and Hamza, who was the uncle of the Prophet, they will be in paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw Ja'far flying like an angel with his two wings in paradise. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw Ja'far flying with the angels, and I also saw Hamza lying down on a couch in paradise. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the leader of the martyrs will be Hamza. Okay? Now remember, guys, we talked about how there are 300 levels of paradise which are reserved for the martyrs alone. And the martyrs will be of the 70,000 that enter without having to go through hell. Hamza, may Allah be pleased with him, he will be leading the martyrs through into paradise. He will be the leader, the one leading them in ranks. SubhanAllah. Also, another companion whom the Prophet has mentioned as being in paradise will be Abdullah ibn Salam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abdullah ibn Salam is the tenth of the first 10 to enter paradise. Can you imagine that? He will be number 10 to enter. SubhanAllah. Also, Zayd ibn Haritha was also promised paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I entered paradise and I was welcomed by a young girl. I asked her, who do you belong to? And she said, I belong to Zayd ibn Haritha. SubhanAllah. So Zayd ibn Haritha will also be in paradise, and this also proves something else that we'll talk about later on, how there will be sex and procreation in paradise. People in paradise will marry and have children. They will procreate. Okay? In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about Zayd ibn Amir ibn Nufail. He too will be in paradise. The Prophet said, I entered paradise and I saw that Zayd ibn Amir ibn Nufail had two levels. Now imagine that this Sahabi has two levels of paradise reserved for him alone. And this Zayd is the one who used to preach Tawheed at the time of the Jahiliyyah, the time before Islam. He used to preach Tawheed. He was a follower of the way of Ibrahim. Now remember, that's another question that somebody wrote me an email asking me, what was the religion of the Arabs before Islam? Well, most of them were pagans. But there were a few who followed the way of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Hanif way. Okay? Zayd ibn Amir ibn Nufail was one of them. Before Islam, he used to preach Tawheed. He used to call the people to believe in the one God. And because of this, he will be in paradise. Another person mentioned to be in paradise will be Haritha ibn al-Numan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I entered paradise and I heard someone reciting Quran. So I asked, who is that? And Jibril said, that is Haritha ibn el-Numan. He is the righteous man. And he was reciting Quran in paradise. Can you believe it? Another person who was guaranteed paradise is Bilal ibn Abi Rabah. Bilal, he was the African slave who became the first caller of the Adhan in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I entered paradise and I heard footsteps ahead of me. So I asked, what is this sound? And Jibril said, that is Bilal. He is walking in front of you. And the reason why Bilal was walking in front of the Prophet was because Bilal used to make, after making wudu, he used to make 2 rakats every time after making wudu. And because of this, he was walking in front of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in paradise. Also, Abu Dada, he's another Sahabi who was promised paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how many bunches of dates are hanging for Abu Dada? Now, those of you who are regular users should remember his story. Abu Dada was the man in Medina who had the most beautiful garden of all, and he donated it in charity to the Muslims for the sake of Allah. And after he donated that garden, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him he will have hundreds of gardens in paradise. Again, guys, these are the things that the Sahaba did which make them better than any of us. And these are the reasons why they will be of those 70,000 and we won't. We don't sacrifice nothing for Allah. Many of us are too selfish. We don't put anybody before us. We got many women who remain married to men who are no good, men who are kufar. They can't give up their husband for the sake of Allah. So what makes you think that you will be amongst these people that enter into paradise without having to go through hell? We don't make even half the sacrifices they make. Our iman is not even an ounce as strong as theirs. Another person who will enter into paradise is Waraka, and you guys should remember him from Sheikh Saleem's class. Waraka was a Christian. He was the uncle of Khadija. And he was a Christian. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam first started receiving revelations, he thought he was possessed by a devil. Khadija took him to her cousin, Waraka, who interpret what was happening to him as being a sign that he was a prophet. And Waraka told him, that's not a jinn visiting you, that is Jibril. And Waraka ended up embracing Islam too. He became a Muslim. And shortly after that, he died. Well, he is also awarded paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not slander Waraka, for I have seen that he will have 1 or 2 gardens in paradise. And the reason why he said don't slander him was because some people used to say, oh, he's a Christian. He's not a Muslim, he's a Christian. When he embraced Islam. So thus we can see, guys, these are just a few of the many people that the hadiths mention that have been awarded paradise. And again, we always ask ourselves, why come I can't be of those 70,000? If you read the story of these different Sahaba, you will see why. Their faith was nothing like ours. Look at Habiba, may Allah be pleased with her. Her husband apostated. He moved her from Mecca. She left her home, her family, her wealth, and moved with her husband to Ethiopia, a strange country. And as soon as they got there, he apostated. He became a Christian. She wasn't sitting around posting questions on question board asking, oh, am I supposed to be patient and think he's going to come back to Islam? She packed up herself and left him. When he announced to her that he had apostated, she said, assalamu alaikum, because I cannot be with a kafir. She booked up and went to live in the woods, the forest. How many of you women do that? Instead, you come here and say, my husband doesn't pray, and he told me he ain't gonna pray. He doesn't fast. He ain't gonna fast. He told me that his religion lies in his heart. Instead of you divorcing this loser man, you stay with him. Talking about you think you're supposed to be patient, maybe he'll come around. Your faith ain't nothing. Nothing like these early Muslims. They would never compromise their Islam, not even for a second, for anyone. Not even a husband. Okay? So those are the people mentioned who will be in paradise. We also need to understand one more important point here before I end for today. Paradise is something of immense value. A person cannot earn it just by his good deeds alone. Don't sit around thinking just because you pray five times a day and you fast during Ramadan, and you get up and do witr prayer at night, and I give in charity. Don't think that just because you do all of that, that you are still guaranteed paradise, because you're not. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no one, not any one of you, will enter paradise by his deeds alone. Not even me. You have to enter through the grace and mercy of Allah. You can be a person that spent your entire life fasting, but Allah can still tell you, no, I'm not letting you in. I'm putting you in hell. So you have to also get in there through the grace and mercy of Allah. Okay? Also, Allah tells us in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, no person knows what is kept hidden from them. And no person knows what is kept for them. In other words, nobody knows. You can't sit up and say, I know I'm going to paradise, like many of these so-called Muslims are doing today. We got a new sect or new group of Muslims who misuse the name Salafi. They take this beautiful name Salafi and totally misuse it, and they've turned it into a sect or a group, and they go around saying they know for a fact they going to paradise and calling themselves the Sahaba when they ain't. We got to be careful of that. Only Allah knows who is going to paradise. You have to get in there not only from your good deeds but from his grace and mercy as well. Okay? So we're going to stop right here for today. You want to remember who are the leaders in paradise. You want to remember that Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them, will be the leaders of the men. You want to remember that Hassan and Hussein will be the leaders of the youth. You want to remember that the best of all women was Maryam, Khadija, Asiya, and Fatima. Okay? So we'll stop right here for today, and tomorrow we'll go over the next chapter. We're going to talk about the descriptions of the people of paradise and the different types of delights that they enjoy. In other words, how will the people of paradise live? What will they do? Will they sleep all day? Will they get married? We'll talk about these things tomorrow, inshallah. So if you guys have any questions, go ahead and ask them.